Today's episode is brought to you by 5-4 Club. Oh yeah, baby. You've heard of them. I know you have. You know why? Because they dress people like Chris Paul, Blake Griffin, Zac Efron, Aziz Ansari, Don Cheadle, and Adam Ray. Yeah, well, let me tell you how I got to learn about 5-4 Club. I'm a dude who doesn't have time to shop, okay? I don't really like to shop. And what I do like are people who know clothes, who know style, and want to help people like me out, okay? When you sign up to be a member of 5-4 Club for $60 a month, only $60 a month, here's what you get, okay? You get proven style, recommendations, and advice from top stylists who just want to make you look good and educate you on how to wear certain pieces. They're not trying to make your wardrobe for you. They just want to help educate you on how to create your vibe, your style. It's an easy sign-up process, all right? You go in, you personalize your style preferences, create a profile, and whether you're looking for clothes for the office, the club, just a chill weekend or whatever, 5-4 has you covered. There are four style profiles, okay? Classic, casual, forward, and mix. You create these, and the guys put together a box of dope clothes for you and send it to your place, to your doorstep, direct delivery, free shipping. Free shipping. So few businesses do that, all right? Go to 5-4 Club right now. Sign up. Become a member. It's only $60 a month, okay? The only way to get this brand is to be a member, all right? You can't find 5-4 Club anywhere else, so you got to sign up, baby. Do you want to stand out in the crowd and not blend in like everyone else? Do you want to wear the clothes that Don Cheadle and Blake Griffin wear? Do you want to start getting compliments from girls you didn't think were even looking at you? I'm telling you, Brad even wears this shit, all right? They've got his size. They've got little Brad's size. I can't stress how dope this company is. I wear their shit. It's dependable. It's reliable. They throw you how-to-wear style suggestions, curated collections, selected by personal stylists. You're not a stylist, man. Get some help from dudes that know what they're talking about. Free size exchanges, free delivery, and easy style profile edits. Great styles that are on point and on season. You want shorts and a button-up? Cool. They got them. You want jackets and jeans when it gets colder? They got them. Go to 54club.com right now. Use promo code ALN to get a nice little discount off your first package, all right? Also, if you sign up for 54 Club this month, they've teamed up with Robert Geller. You know who Robert Geller is? Yeah, maybe named Best Men's Wear Designer in 2009. He's collaborated with Levi's, Common Projects, Yeezy Season 1. Robert Geller is thrown in a pair of his $200 shades for free when you sign up this month to be a member in 5-4 Club. All right? So go to 54club.com, use promo code ALN, and start looking better, baby. And now enjoy a brand new episode of the About Last Night podcast with Brad Williams and Adam Ray. Hey, everybody, it's Adam Ray for the About Last Night podcast. Well, we've got an amazing episode today. It's our second live episode from the Hollywood Improv in Los Angeles, California, About Last Night live podcast. So fun. We might start doing these every month. This was really it's so fun to do with the live audience. Obviously Brad and I love bantering, but when we have guests, it's just like the whole level of performing just goes up a notch, and the crowd was awesome. Our guests were the very funny Harlan Williams and my co-host of Separation Anxiety. The host of Separation Anxiety. I'm the co-host. I'm on the smaller stage, let's be honest. They gave her the show. I auditioned, so it's her show. Eliza Schlesinger is our other guest today. Both crushed it. Eliza, man, what can't she talk about? Just one of those sharp point of views that can riff on anything. We talked about airline etiquette. We talked about Cher's tweets. Cher's Twitter handle is crazy. We got into that. We got into some relationship talk, some men and women differences. We got into our show, Separation Anxiety, which apparently is TBS's highest rated new show, scripted or unscripted, baby. So thank you so much for watching that. Tuesday nights, 10 p.m. TBS. Tomorrow's episode might be one of my favorites. The contestants are just, it's two dude best friends of like 15 years, and they're hilarious. It was a lot of fun. So tune in tomorrow night, TBS, 10 p.m., Separation Anxiety. I think it might be 7 p.m. on the East Coast, but check your local listings. TBS, Separation Anxiety. Eliza was hilarious. She brought it, as always. Harlan Williams, I mean, what can you say about the dude? Nobody makes me laugh harder. What did we talk about? We talked about our favorite holidays. We talked about Scooby-Doo for a little while, which was awesome. Harlan did a stand-up set, which you will hear on this podcast. We talked about it all. A lot of laughs. I've never laughed so hard. Follow both of them on Twitter and go see them live. Eliza's about to do her third Netflix special. She's taping it April 23rd at the Vic Theater in Chicago, Illinois. You can get tickets to her special and all her tour dates at Eliza.com, I-L-I-Z-A.com. Follow her on Twitter, at Eliza. Follow Harland on Twitter, at Harlan Williams. Listen to his podcast, The Harlan Highway, which Brad and I were just guests on. You can get all his podcasts and tour date info at HarlanWilliams.com. Follow Brad on Twitter, at FunnyBrad. Follow me on Twitter, at Adam Ray Comedy. And come see me tomorrow night at the Laugh Factory. I will be there, I think, at 10 p.m. Check the website. I'll be posting on Twitter and Facebook. I think it's 10 p.m. And then I'll be at Comedy Juice at the Hollywood Improv, 10 p.m. Wednesday, March 30th. Get your tickets at improv.com. Those lineups are always stacked. I think it's going to be me, Dane, Joe Rogan, Chris D'Elia. Comedy Juice Wednesday, March 30th, 10 p.m. And then I'll be at the Comedy Store main room at 8 p.m. on Thursday, March 31st. And then this weekend, I will be headlining the La Jolla Comedy Store in La Jolla, California. That's San Diego for all you... you know, people who don't know geography. This is one of the best clubs in the country. I'm pumped. I'm bringing my buddy Avery Pearson. We're going to do some music, some improvised songs. So come out, La Jolla Comedy Store, April 1st, April 2nd. Two shows both nights. Get your tickets at comedystore.com. And then come see me next weekend in West Palm Beach. I'm going to be headlining the West Palm Beach Improv in West Palm Beach, Florida for the first time, April 8th through the 10th. Get your tickets at improv.com and come see me at the West Palm Beach Improv, April 8th through the 10th. And then, of course, end of April, I'm going to be in Boston, Massachusetts at Laugh Boston, April 28th through the 30th at Laugh Boston. Come out and see me April 28th through the 30th at Laugh Boston. Bunch of shows. Going to be a blast. Working on my hour. Getting that tight to shoot, hopefully, this summer or early fall. But I got a lot of fun material I'm working with right now, and the shows are going to be a blast. So get your tickets at AdamRayTV.com. All my tour dates and videos are at my website, AdamRayTV.com. BradWilliamsComedy.com is where you can find all of Brad's tour dates, and he's going to be, oh baby, this weekend headlining the Comedy Factory in Baltimore, Maryland, April 1st and April 2nd. Go see Brad. And March 31st, I'm sorry, Thursday through Saturday. Brad will be in Baltimore, Maryland at the Comedy Factory. Go see him March 31st through April 2nd. And then April 3rd, Brad is doing two shows at Zany's in I don't know where it is, what Zany's it is, 1548 North Street in Chicago, Illinois. So go see Brad, Zany's Comedy Club on April 3rd. And then April 8th and 9th, Brad will be headlining Gotham Comedy Club in New York City, baby. Go see Brad, Gotham Comedy Club, April 8th and 9th in New York City. Tickets at GothamComedyClub.com. Of course, follow the podcast on Twitter, at ALN Podcast, at ALN Podcast on Instagram. I'm AdamRay33 on Instagram. Brad's Brad Williams Comic. StoryMerchandise.com for all your ALN merch. We got hats, we got shirts, we got mugs, we got Life My Life shirts, Ronnie and the Quave shirts, the Titanic shirts, the official commemorative ALN posters, which are dope. All that is at StoryMerchandise.com, ESTOYMerchandise.com. Get your shit, bring it to the shows. Brad and I are both on the road a lot coming up. Bring out your merch, we'll sign it for you, take pictures. We love the support when you guys bring your shit to the shows live. And of course, keep subscribing on iTunes. Those 5-star ratings help us out so much. So do it right now while the intro is finishing up. 5 stars on the iTunes page. Leave a little comment. Helps us climb the charts and continue to bring you guys dope episodes. Coming up, we've got Jerry Ferrara coming back for his 4th appearance with Kevin Connolly from Entourage. That's going to be dope. We've got Angela Johnson coming up. We've got Retta from Parks and Rec. Jesus Christ. We've got Dana Carvey, number 3, which we taped last week, which was maybe one of the best episodes in the history. And this week, we're doing the Goo Goo Dolls. What the fuck, man? So many dope episodes coming up. Make sure you're subscribed on iTunes so you can get the new episodes every Monday and Thursday, which we've been pumping out recently. Going to keep that going for a while. And keep enjoying all the content we're bringing you guys. These shows have been awesome and fun to do and some really amazing interviews coming up. So make sure you're subscribed on iTunes and enjoy brand new episodes like today's. Now that we got the tour dates out of the way, those are the Twitter handles, that's all the merch info, that's the TBS show info, and now sit back, relax, and enjoy a brand new episode of the About Last Night podcast, the second live episode with the very funny Harlan Williams and Eliza Schlesinger.
Well, the weekend's over, so it's time to chat about it.
What are you doing?
I had to run. I had to burn some calories.
You had to. Guys, thanks for coming. How you feeling? The About Last Night live podcast, yeah. Number two.
Everyone always loves a number two. What? Okay. Yeah, I started off with a shit joke. We're keeping it classy here. Yeah, at the About Last Night
podcast. The kids aren't here.
Hey, we're at the new lab at the Hollywood Improv.
This is great. Thanks for being here, guys. Thanks for being here. It's cozy.
Yeah. And there's tons of people here who presumably know who we are. If they don't, then they just saw a midget run up on stage, and they think their NyQuil dream is just kicking in.
That'd be the best NyQuil, because my NyQuil dreams are always pretty scary. But I feel like if you entered in at some point, that would just... Oh. Like, I had a NyQuil dream once that... Yeah. I was in the jungle, and I was like, for whatever reason, I was observing like a town hall meeting, but it was all the animals of the animal kingdom.
So like the opening scene of The Lion King?
Pretty much exactly that, but a lot more terrifying because I stepped on like a branch at one point as I was like peeping and, their whole meeting, and then they all collectively just like turned and looked towards me in the bushes. A lot of you aren't laughing because maybe you had the same dream, and that's what I'm going to... but it was terrifying. And then I ran. So, but if I had been running away, and then you came out of nowhere and was like, get on my back, I'll save you, then I...
Wait, why would you get on my back?
I don't know. It's my fucking, it's my dream. I can the dwarf does what I want in my dream.
What?
No, that's how it works.
If you jump on my back, that's a hate crime. That's not working out too well. I can't support you.
Didn't somebody jump on your back once?
Someone did jump on my back once. Because, all right, we're going to get dark for a second, okay? Can we get dark for a second? I don't know if we got any sad violin music we can start playing. Some dude, I picked up his girlfriend and held her over my shoulders, and he was like, that looks like fun, and he jumped on my back. But he was a UFC fighter. And so he was way heavier, and the I got great thighs, but not a great back. So that fucked me up. And despite the rumors, if you break a dwarf's back, you do not get three wishes. I think that's what he thought. He's like, all right, I cracked his back. When does the genie pop out? It's like, yeah. No, that's not how it happens. Dick.
That's one of many. We talked about this the other day, too. Like, there's somebody else brought a dwarf stereotype to, I think it was one of our guests tonight, Harlan Williams.
Yes, you did.
We were discussing, like, if there are other animals or creatures that use a litter box.
Yes.
And we started joking about if that was how, you know, dwarves shed. And so you're laughing because you guys are like, but do they? Nobody knows for sure if they do or they don't. And
correct. And here's the thing. If you walked into my apartment and you saw me shitting in a litter box, would you object to it or would you just go like, well, that's what they do? That's their thing. I don't want to interrupt their culture. You know, like Asians, you take off your shoes and that's just acknowledged. Dwarves, they shit in a litter box. That's fine. Like you see, now you guys aren't laughing. You're just saying facts at this point. We all know dwarves shit in litter boxes, Brad. Get off the point. Yeah. Okay, I get
good
it.
Good for you. You've Googled something.
Well, we're all drinking. We're all having a good time tonight.
Let's talk about the show, first of all.
Yeah,
we've got an amazing show tonight. Two of our guests, the amazing Eliza Schlesinger is on the show tonight. And after that, our good buddy Harlan Williams will be coming to the stage to do some funny. Before we get into that, Brad, how was your day? How was your week?
Oh, my day is great. My day was fantastic. We did a podcast today with Retta from Parks and Rec. You guys, yeah.
For sure. Yeah, let's talk about more guests that aren't going to be on this show tonight.
Oh, yeah, sure. And then the ghost of Abraham Lincoln was on the podcast.
Yeah, he was good.
It was fucking fantastic. No, it's good. I'm getting ready to go to Boston this weekend, so I'm getting that. Oh, one person. Okay, yeah.
Do you have to prepare weather-wise differently? Here's the deal.
It's hard enough for me to find regular clothes. When I find like cold weather clothes, I do not look good because it's literally like a parka with like a teddy bear on the back, and that's the only thing that fits me. Like, so I'm just like walking around and. Basically, I dress like either a 5-year-old or a 27-year-old Japanese woman. It's pretty much the same thing. Yeah. So yeah, I mean, you popped a boner maybe for the wrong reason, but yeah, that's pretty much how I'm gonna look in Boston.
You're doing shows out there.
Yeah, I'm doing the Wilbur Theater. I'm actually doing a theater out there.
Whoa, good for you.
I'm getting to that Crystalia territory. Watch out, buddy.
Good for you.
I'm coming. And then your day, what did you do?
I went on a hike at Runyon Canyon because apparently it's going to close down in April. So our buddy in front of the podcast, Adam Devine, coerced me into taking a hike. And my legs are still on fire right now. I feel like it's in pretty good shape, but that is a burn. It's also, I feel bad for the people that they're closing down the mountain for because there's probably been a lot of, I don't know, friendships born on that. I saw a lot of guys with dogs that were definitely hitting on women. Like, I saw a lot of girls going like, oh my God, how old is he? And the guy being like, he's like 40. Like, do you want to see my dick? Like, there was a lot of like, like, I feel like when, the door was open at that point.
For those listening who aren't familiar with Runyon Canyon.
Yeah.
It is.
How would you describe it to an out-of-towner?
All right. Imagine a Paris fashion show, but happening on a hike. Like, that's the shit. Like, right, like, for those of you, God, the people go up to Runyon, they think they're on a casting call, so you, like, have girls in full makeup going to jog, and they're, like, they're wearing, like, booty shorts, and you basically think that it's only going to be a porno. You're like, okay, a porno's going to start at any second, and then it's just
what pornos are you watching where there's a 15-minute hiking scene before...
Listen, I like a lot of cordial.
The story's getting good. I wish they would stop fucking and continue this plot.
I mean, I jerk off to workout tapes, so it was just a logical
step. Good for you. A lot of people said you wouldn't do it. But
yeah. The thing is, so you go on a hike to work out. When I go to a gym to work out, I love it because when I go on the bench press, like, everyone stops. Because everyone wants to know, like, wait, do they have, like, super strength? Is that one of their powers?
Will he survive?
Yeah. And then, like, if I start putting up more weight than the guy next to me, then his ego is just, like, crushed for life. Because he's looking at, like, how the fuck is he doing that? He doesn't know that it's a parlor trick, and my arms are tiny, so it actually doesn't take a lot of muscle to put up 145 pounds. But
is that what,
like,
you bench?
Yeah.
Good for you.
Yeah, 145. Like that's to do 10 reps. Just put it up once. I do 215, and that's eight Brads. Just have other Brads holding on to their bar.
That's
and I'm just
hilarious.
Like, I bench midgets. So if you had
a trainer, they'd be like, next week we'll try to get 16 Brads.
Yeah. I feel like that's how Kim Jong-un works out, is he just has, like, midgets hold onto the bar, and then he lifts it. Like, that's like a North Korea shit. And now they're going to nuke me. Fuck!
People got really sensitive on that one.
Yeah. They're not
the Kim Jong-un fans. You can make fun of how he talks, but not his workout regimen.
Well, your life has changed in the past few weeks because your show with our guest, who's hosted by our guest Eliza Schlesinger, Separation Anxiety, debuted
on
TBS.
52 million viewers, so thank you so much. We're big in Tel Aviv and Glendale. So I'm okay with both those locations.
Has your life changed since the show debuted?
I think I've been hit up from more of my mom's friends from Temple, so that's been fun. I'm blowing up that Temple bulletin in Seattle.
Watch my son. He's on the TBS.
How dare you? She's not that Jewy.
Well, no, this is her friend, Agnes.
Yeah. Agnes.
I feel like only an Agnes would talk like this.
Yeah.
Maybe a Dorothy.
Going through a whole woman.
No, I just wanted to watch you play out that character a little bit more. I've never seen you so hunched over and adorable. Yeah, I mean, I did the support you get from, like, you know, unexpected places. Like, there's a kid I went to high school with who was a senior when I was a freshman on the football team, and I figured maybe he'd had gone pro at this point. But no, he works at Jiffy Lube, so go figure.
You win,
David Knapp. But he came up to me after show. I guess he was down here visiting, and he was like, he was hammered, first of all, which is always a great time to reconnect. With somebody I haven't seen for a while. But he was, you know, the support I was, you know, appreciated and welcomed. But he got really emotional, and he was like, we never really had many conversations. But he's like, dude, I'm so fucking proud of you, dude. You're down here fucking living your dream, dude, and chasing your dreams, man, and living and fucking, dude, I work at fucking Jiffy Lube, man. Like, he started, it was very real and a little too real. And he was like, and you're fucking doing it, man. And like, this is great. And I was like, David, I literally think this is the most we've ever exchanged dialogue. The last time I remember talking to him is when I quit football my sophomore year of high school to play Danny Zuko in Grease.
That's a real story.
That's a real story. Yeah.
Yeah. Don't laugh.
Don't laugh. I wrote my college essay on it. And I literally think the last thing he said to me was like, good luck, queer boy, drama queer or something.
so he went from good luck, queer, to I'm so fucking proud of you, man.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So I reminded him that moment, too. I was like, do you remember how supportive you were when I quit football? He was like, man, I don't remember shit. It's like, all right, good to see you. I'll see you another 25 years.
Yeah. I mean, it was cool because we were actually at a bar the other night, and they were playing Separation Anxiety in the bar that we were at, which was, it's kind of awkward when, and I probably didn't help it when I stood up on the bar and went, that's the guy! Like a good friend
and
would.
And a couple people looked and I was like, do I get free drinks? Like, no, man.
It's cable money.
Yeah.
It's cool.
But no, it's cool. TBS is blasting it all over the place. Have you guys watched it?
Yeah. There you go.
We'll take it. 9 people. We'll take it.
Yeah. Every little bit helps.
You've watched it.
Yeah, of course I watched it. I watch it with my girlfriend, and we laugh at those couples. And then we're like, yeah.
What would we do? How would we play the game?
Yeah, oh, my God. What would we do in that scenario? And, of course, we win in our mind.
Yeah.
But then if we put us in that scenario, we would.
You're pretty good at trivia, though. I think you would excel in that game.
I'd be all right. I mean, as long as you kept it within the categories, you know, famous little people. that's it. You know, like, so. If you get a Warwick Davis question, I will crush that shit.
Or 90s punk bands, I feel like you would excel at.
90s punk bands, yeah. Just like if you have a question about the Ataris, Newfound Glory, Good Charlotte, Sum 41, SR-71. Am I missing anyone?
Well, we're losing everybody right now. So you mentioned girlfriend living with. So that's a big change. And Brad is his girlfriend Jasmine. They live together now. That's a big deal.
Yeah,
you guys should clap. Brad is growing up in front of our faces.
Well, not growing, but still, that's not happening. No, and she's tall, and so she's a tall person. I graduated to tall women, but it's weird now because now little people, women hate me because they're like, oh, you were a tall girl. Like it's kind of like when a black dude dates a white chick. Like all the black chicks get mad because it's like, you took one of ours. Like, now all the dwarf women are like, you took one. Why'd you take one?
Have they, banned you from the meetings now? Like, what happens?
Well, they banned her. Like you know how those roller coaster signs say you must be below this line?
Yeah.
For us, it's you must be below this line to enter. So they banned her. But they're always talking shit to me like, oh, well, what can she do that I can't do? I'm like, I don't know, reach the second shelf.
That's helpful. That cereal's all the way up there for you.
Yeah, I have places. I have shelves in my house I can finally fucking use, and it's awesome.
Has she domesticated you? I mean, I feel like you've toned down a little bit. Like
a little bit. You know, I'm now in bed by 8:30. No.
Wow, that happens. Consider this friendship terminated.
Here's the thing that's changed the most about me now that the girl is living with me. My girlfriend is also a fourth degree black belt in Taekwondo.
Yeah. You hear how quiet it just got? Oh,
yeah.
God.
Everyone's like,
laugh at everything
right
Brad says from here on out.
And guys are like, oh, well, isn't that weird? Like, your girl can beat you up. And I go, well, first of all, that's very true. She can kick my ass. But it's like, they're like, oh, wow, your girl can beat you up. It's like, I'm 4 foot nothing. A lot of people can beat me up. That's not new to me that someone can kick my ass. Like, I don't walk around like, I could take out anyone. But the thing that's changed is, like, for a dude, when we argue, there's always, like, that, okay, we could dominate you physically if we had to. Like, Bill Burr has this great bit where he's like, the reason why women argue the way they do is because they know you're not going to hit them. Right? All right, lost you guys there. That's fine. Everyone's like, I can't laugh
at this.
Stick
to the script, Brad.
My third cousin's Rihanna. I can't laugh at this shit. But basically, I can't argue like I used to. Like, I can't argue like a dude anymore because I can't be like, I have that physical dominance over her.
Yeah.
But now it's fine because now I argue like a woman. And that's how I win arguments. It's awesome.
Wait,
every
so what
guy
does that
should
entail?
Try. Every guy should try arguing with their significant other like a woman, what? Because women aren't used to arguing with women, so it blows their minds too. Like you don't make any logical sense. That helps.
And then
you bring up things that they did in their past that have nothing to do with the argument that they're currently having. Like, we're arguing about who's going to do the dishes, and I bring up the fact that she deleted Bar Rescue off DVR 4 weeks ago, and that means that she should do the dishes tonight because
that's
her
sense.
Turn.
In
and
an alternate
she's
universe.
Just stunned. She's like, "What the? How do I argue about this shit?" Like, it's awesome. I like it.
You've had some fights.
Yeah, well,
I guess you're living together now, so that's...
Yeah, and it's cool because, like, I'm living with her. I've lived only with dudes before, which is... I like living with a woman. Things are neater. There's less smells. and the last time I lived with a dude, I severely cock-blocked him, and this is a true story. I was gone, and he brought a girl home, and she walked in. The girl walked in, saw my shoes on the ground... And then got mad at my roommate because she's like, "You didn't tell me you had a kid." That's a real story. And she did not fuck him that night. And he told me this, like, "You owe me pussy." I'm like, "No, that's a fucking story. I love that."
Oh, shit.
Yeah. It's so I like it. I'm enjoying the whole girlfriend process. But the weird thing is now that I have a girlfriend is something's been happening recently around L.A.
Yeah.
There is a dwarf woman that has moved to L.A., a cute, attractive dwarf woman that a lot of my friends want to sleep with. And they are calling me and asking me for permission.
What the
Which
fuck?
Which is very strange.
like you're the mayor of dwarf pussy? How does that – what? Like, how does that
– I am the gatekeeper of all dwarf
pussy.
Guess.
Jesus.
Like, I had a dude, and she's actually here tonight. Lila, she's right here. Do you want to –
Lila, do you want to come up and field some questions here? Yeah, guys, make some noise for Lila. Bring her up.
Yeah. Here.
Nice.
You take the mic right there, Lila. And then, so Lila just moved here. Lila's a stand-up comic. And, Lila, a lot of my friends want to sleep with you.
Well, that's flattering.
All right. Does that happen? Like, do tall guys hit on you a lot?
Well, they do, but, you know, I'm kind of leery of those ones.
Right, because you think, like, they have a fetish or
like
something?
Like a weird little fetish. But
yeah, yeah.
At the same time, it's exciting, you know, because... They're tall, and I can climb on them like a jungle gym.
That is a new position. That is.
And the jungle gym?
Yeah. And every guy, I think, just wants to fuck a dwarf because they're like, wow, how big will my dick look in those hands? This will be so awesome. You will call me Tyrone after this encounter. Oh,
Jesus.
So, yeah, like, it's so strange that, like, my friends are asking me, like, because it's like, all right. I'm going to get kind of historical on you guys for a second. I don't know if you guys saw the movie Braveheart, but there was a scene in that where the king practices something called Lama Nocturna.
Yeah.
Lama Nocturna was where the king had sexual rights to every married woman on her wedding night before the husband. So the king would be like, she's cool. I get to fuck her first. And, yeah, like, he would do that. Now I think people think that I'm enacting that over all of Hollywood. Like, yes, you may hit on the dwarf girl after I get my turn. Like, it's very strange. Like, Adam, have you had that with Jewish women or something? Or is there just enough Jews in Hollywood that they're like, you can't claim all of them?
So, Lila, when you first got out here, did you find a how do these dudes hit on you? Like, is there like a go-to? move? I mean, Brad, obviously they're checking in with Brad first, but some of them have to just be coming directly to you.
Well, they most of the time they just come up and they're, you know, the really tall ones will always say, "Oh, you're not that small." You know?
Jesus.
Yeah, that's what we want to hear.
You're not that small.
Yeah, I had a girl say that the first time I pulled out my dick, and that was not encouraging.
So, Lila, when... okay, so now how tall? When you say, like, I mean, the really tall ones.
Like 6'2".
Right.
6'2" is the tallest.
Would you...
They always say, "Oh, my gosh, you're so cute. I just want to put you in my pocket."
For sure.
But, you know, that's okay, because who wouldn't want me? And their pants all day.
Right. Oh shit!
Confidence. Like
what is the? Is there a height maximum? Like if like a 6'9" dude? Like is that just too?
Yeah.
Too
my
tall?
Gosh, that's really tall.
Well, I don't fucking know.
Like literally, I would be like his like a leg.
Right.
Yeah.
That's too big.
It's too big.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Now, is that something you just decide for yourself, or is there like a doctor or a family member who tells you?
You laugh, but this could
be serious.
True.
Yeah. Is there like? He says, like, "Hey, here's like 6'2" is max because at 6'4" and 6'5", things are going to get dangerous and possibly,
you know,
possibly
I decided that for myself, but I think you're probably right.
Yeah. Now, what is your like the qualities of a dude out here? Obviously, LA, there's a lot of people in the business, so that's can't be that appealing. But what is like the thing in a dude that you look for most?
Well, I like personal trainers because they're fun, they're fit. They can pick me up. You know, it's exciting. I like to be picked up.
Let's be honest. I know how small you are. It's not going to take a personal trainer to pick you up. I feel like a 7-year-old that did like half a push-up could do a curl with you.
Yeah, that's probably true.
So, maybe get a little more specific.
I like nice. I like people who are nice.
Yeah.
All right, guys. So, all my friends that are listening to the podcast are hitting me up to bang Lila. She likes nice guys that pick her up. So, there you go.
There you go.
But you got to ask first.
You got to ask.
Oh, yes, yes. No random reenactments of that opening scene from The Lion King.
Yes.
Yeah, you know,
guys, give it up for Lila. Thank you so much for coming by. Thanks, Lila.
Awesome.
You guys ready to get the show started?
Yeah.
Hollywood Improv, you can do better than that. You ready to start the show and bring up our first guest?
Yeah.
Man, she won last Comic Standing. She's hosting Separation Anxiety. She's about to shoot her third Netflix special, and she's one of the best in the business. Give it up, everybody, for our friend Eliza Schlesinger.
What? It's yours?
Yeah.
You hate hashtags.
I love hashtags.
Well, yeah, because
you're observing them.
Because you actually had, during your special, Freezing Hot, you would have hashtags come up during the special.
Strategic hashtags, because Netflix doesn't give out numbers. Yeah. So I was like, how can I track this? Not unlike tagging a whale in the wild. I tagged it with hashtags so that when people would interact with it, I could see that they were watching it.
Wow, that's brilliant.
Now I have some of the information.
Wow.
Do you now? When is the time when you feel most necessary for a hashtag? Because I just saw a buddy of mine post a picture earlier tonight, and he just went to a basketball game, and then he put hashtag the city and hashtag the name of the team, and I was like, "Well, we know where it is because you're wearing the jersey of the team,
right?"
And you even posted like, "So glad to go to this city's team game," and I was like, "You just
you're contributing to a database, I guess." If, you know, if, what was the city?
Atlanta.
Yeah, you should never hashtag that. No, no. I was hoping you would say Detroit.
But it's like when you go to lunch and then you post a picture. You're like, I had the best lunch today. Hashtag lunch. Hashtag today.
Hashtag lunch.
Like, yeah.
Because there are people, and I've done it, where I've been bored and I'm like, I'm going to look at pretty pictures of sushi. Hashtag sushi. And then I just look for it.
Whoa.
And you're hoping that – here's what you're hoping for.
Yeah, okay.
And this is me sort of being Hollywood. You're hoping – so let's say you're hashtag – sushi, hoping someone in Hollywood will be like, I too am bored. Hashtag sushi. Wow, that's a beautiful picture of sushi. I wonder what other work this person has. And then they give you a reality show. That's why we everything.
So it's a networking opportunity.
Always.
You just sent out everyone in our audience with like a new mission. Like, I'm going to hashtag everything sushi. Anything. Fuck it.
Yeah. Hashtag models. Done. Like, that's why people do it.
Yeah. I think the one that gets overused the most is hashtag blessed.
100%.
That one. Yeah. If you ever want to kill yourself within 3 minutes, look up hashtag blessed
on Instagram.
But it's
also never stuff that like you should be that thankful for.
Yeah, it's like
you're doing okay. It's a Coach bag.
Rims on my car. Hashtag blessed.
Yeah.
So you're like, really?
Found an Xbox controller at Toys R Us for half off.
Yeah.
Nope. Is that just me?
Hashtag blessed.
Speaking from personal experience. All right. Well,
because
fuck you guys.
Because the kind of people that use that aren't smart people, and so what they consider, which is okay. I mean, you don't have to be smart to consider yourself lucky, and it's good to practice the art of being grateful.
When you say it like that, it really has a sincere quality to it. Yeah.
Practicing.
Now, you're like really in tune with social media, and one thing that
you've been... I only have 120,000 followers.
That's good.
Only...
Should you have more? You
well, think compared you should... to like normal people who
yeah,
don't
compared to like Cher, yeah, for sure.
Right, who is a maniac on Twitter?
Is she?
Go to Twitter, right? It's babble. It's like hashtags and pictures and questions for non-interrogative statements. It's the weirdest shit.
How do you know so much about her Twitter?
Cher yeah. Bono. No.
Can we pull up Cher's Twitter on
pull up
the
Cher's
screen
Twitter.
Here?
Because my manager one day was like, thanks, yo, Josh. Cher's a fucking maniac. And I was like, Cher? It's because like you could tell she's watching like a GOP debate and just like only getting every couple lines and just responding out of
that's the best.
Time.
That's the best commentary to follow.
Yeah. But whatever, I'm sorry, you're saying, but Cher's crazy.
Well, I didn't know that, but now, yeah, now I have something to Google later. Yeah. Now, why did Cher being crazy come up with your manager? Were you guys already discussing Cher previously?
My manager
knows, like, here's Cher's Twitter.
All right, let's
read her.
Okay.
Am I blocking?
I'm thinking late night.
That one's coherent.
Hang on.
Now, of course, it's like when you want to show someone something on your phone, it doesn't load.
What are these?
What does that say? Fee? Fee!
BuzzFeed game.
Oh, BuzzFeed game. I missed two. Oh my God, makeup hell. Thank God for Polly. She's organized. I want to run through the house screaming, eat my body weight in peeps. Okay, that one's okay. Try to be conscientious. Have an obligation to crew. So an apology was easy, but... .. I went over 40 legit quotes of Trump. Oh my God. Scum's being too kind, kiss. It sounds like a Japanese tourist.
Hashtag crazy.
Oh my God.
Wow, it just doesn't stop.
And then this gets bigger somehow. Why is that one bigger?
Just my...
This is before Trump. Is she still...
Read this one.
Some Africans are lazy fools, only good at eating, lovemaking, and stealing. Donald Trump. Okay, but that's a quote. That's not. That was insane.
I was about to say, wow, Cher, you're like, kind of racist.
Taking a stance.
Jesus Christ.
Taking a stance.
You believe in love after love.
This is a grown woman.
Yeah.
And there's no apostrophe. Yeah. Oh, there shouldn't be one. Sorry.
But
there shouldn't be one.
See, that's what I'm talking about, though. Look at Easter is on its way. Well, she for sure talks like that, by the way. But Easter's on its way with a picture and 1,500 favorites. That's the power of Twitter. Like, I have 30,000. That's a decent amount, but it's not what she has millions. People, like, she can, like, Katy Perry has, like, 6 million. Yeah, I follow Katy Perry on Twitter. Let's fucking change the subject. But so she has, like, 60 million. She can tweet, like, hey.
Yes.
And then she gets, like, 15,000 retweets. 30,000 people don't care what I say. I could tweet like, hey, chilling with Jesus Christ at IHOP. You know, he just told me where the Malaysian plane's at. And I'd lose followers because nobody cares.
He's a conspiracy theorist.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, and that's also a problem with Hollywood is we – and I like Katy Perry, so her aside.
Love her.
We perpetuate – all right. I heard she's into you.
Shut the
fuck
up.
I know someone who knows her.
Shut the fuck up. Are you serious?
It was just a bit, but you got someone to God.
Oh, Eliza, you don't even know what you did.
By the way, you won't see a more genuine, sincere face in the next 5 years than what I just made.
It was an intimate moment.
It was like you told me my parents were getting back together and then said, psych, all right, well, ease up. It's not happening. But
Eliza, you know how much he loves Katy Perry.
I do now.
Yeah. Like,
well, my point was taking it away from how bad I feel right now. We just sort of perpetuate mediocrity, and once you're given a platform, once you do anything, like there are people that like did a thing in the 90s, and then they get like endorsed.
Like Chumbawamba.
Yeah. Do they have a deal now?
They have a deal now with Weebles because they get knocked down, but they get up again.
Wow. Oh my God.
Wow. That deserves a lot more than what just happened. That deserves some sort of a standing O, carrying you out on a giant.
All you have to do in Hollywood, here's the secret to success.
Yeah.
Just do one thing. Just do one big thing, and you can coast off of that. Scott Baio was on a show, and then 80 years later got a reality show.
And then 20 more years after that, he was trending on Twitter 2 days ago.
Yeah.
Because he said something
about Trump. Because he likes him. Kimmy Gibbler from Fuller House. Girl checked out of the industry. Jodie Sweetin went and got like a drug addiction. Lovely girl. And then some executive called her like, look, we're done doing original shit. You guys want to come back? Kimmy Gibbler was like, drop the fucking fork in her kitchen trying to say whisk, and she was like, I'll be on set. And we're sitting here clawing our way up to a career. Yeah. We're like, hey, you haven't taken a shit on camera in 15 years. Why don't you come on back? We're driving to Santa Monica for auditions. You just got to do one thing. You just got to do one thing.
I mean, yeah, but how impactful does that one thing have to be?
So impactful.
Right.
Yeah.
So big.
Like George Foreman boxed, but then made a cool grill.
Made a super cool grill. It has to be big, and it has to be relevant enough.
Okay.
Most of you only know him because of that.
That's true. There are a lot of kids who only know George Foreman. Yeah. The grill guy?
Because you know what happened?
What a bummer.
He fucking no, didn't he boxed.
He,
what?
He boxed?
Because no. Then there are people
boxed
like...
Boxed up grills? Yeah, there we go.
There
this
are people who didn't do enough yeah. and like mm-hmm. almost got there, like Tila Tequila. She was
close.
Like kind, and then she got like a show, but it was like
she needed one more thing.
Yeah, yeah, and then she got fucking weird, and now she's like garbage trash for the Juggalos. Like,
well, dude, okay, she's coming up on our next podcast, so let's ease up on that.
I will fight her.
You want to have a good like a good Twitter timeline? She's the one. She's one of those flat Earth people.
Oh,
Josh,
oh.
Josh, you mind pulling that up real quick?
Yeah.
Maybe we can get one tweet out of this.
Yeah, she's got like
she's a Ben Carson follower.
What am I looking up?
Tia Tequila's.
No, maybe don't add to it.
Yeah, maybe not. It's a bad idea.
Yeah, but and the weird part is she tweets stuff like, I was up in the airplane and you didn't see any curvature of the earth. Obviously it's flat.
People retweet it.
And people are
she's
like,
more
well,
followers than we do.
I mean, Jesus. You suck the football player's dick, so of course you know shit. Like
so there you have it. I mean, I'm just saying, sometimes I won't click on someone if I think they're garbage. And I can hold in the curiosity. I'll be like, I'll just figure it out another way because I won't give them the satisfaction of engaging with
right.
their media.
What I love about your social media presence is that, first of all, you have amazing diatribes on. When you get discussed with airline – yeah, those of you who are laughing have read her journals online about airlines, which always to me very justified. But sometimes I feel like you just didn't sleep enough.
It's both.
Yeah,
I couldn't sleep because the airline was doing a bad job.
Yeah. And you always make a point to tweet at the airline, which I think is smart. Yeah, for sure.
That's
I don't know. How much do you think, though, when you are wronged, do they actually take into consideration your tweet? Because I feel like it's always – I see comedians do it a lot where they're like, hey, American Airlines, fuck you.
Yeah.
And I'm like, all right, there
got
might have been a better way to word that to get some feedback. But
and I don't know what they're expecting
message
like,
received.
Like for the president to call them like, you said fuck you, here's your private plane.
Yeah.
Like that's
yeah.
not going to happen.
Sorry, wasn't an extra Diet Sprite? But I feel like but I feel like what airline ever reads those? And because I see a lot of comedians.
They write
like,
back.
They do write back. And
they do. One time, because sometimes I'll proactively get upset because I know it's like shit's going to go bad. Like, I've flown enough to know that if I don't start saying this now, then I won't get my flight on the next day. So sometimes I get ahead of it. And one time I wrote something, and I guess the person doing their DM was, like, a younger person because he wrote back, I literally have no idea what you're talking about.
Oh.
But then the other day, I was sitting in first class, and my friend was sitting coach, and
Humble
I wanted
brag.
To sit with my friend. Yeah. It's not a brag. I sit in first class all the time.
First
it's
class,
just
yeah.
No, but
did you get judged real quick?
By who?
By the people who walk, because what I think is fun sometimes about sitting in first class, and it doesn't happen a lot, but the judgment, and I've done this too, the judgment that you make, because you're obviously on the plane first, and people walk through, and sometimes yeah. there's a traffic jam, and they're standing over you as you're laying
yeah.
your hot towel on your face. And I had a woman on a flight recently walk by, and I literally was removing the towel. By the way, I didn't want the towel. Like, it
was
there.
Because it was there.
I took it was there, but also I had no need to, like, put it on. It was almost too hot, you know, so I filled out a comment card. But so I'm removing the hot towel from my face, and there was a woman just staring over me, and she goes, must be nice. And then kept moving. Like, her timing was brilliant. It was like, must be nice. And she fucking disappeared.
Here's what you say next time. You'd be like, listen to me, you fucking... proletariat piece of garbage. I told you not
See,
to
I'm
make eye
about.
Contact with me. When we were in the waiting area.
See, I'm almost jealous because that never happens to me when I'm in first class because everyone just assumes I'm a Make-A-Wish kid. So, like, no one's going to be like, how are you not? Like, what
you
do you deserve to be
them.
Here?
Quick, give him more hot towels.
People, but everybody's
He doesn't
had
have much time.
Oh, no.
Letters.
My point was... I wanted to sit and coach. It was a short flight.
Yeah.
And I wanted to sit and coach with my friend. Mm-hmm. And so – and I wasn't trying to be a hero. And I hated that. There are some things, especially as comics, like we do have good hearts. And we have to be mean to people sometimes. But like I went over to the gate agent sometimes. Yeah. I went over the gate agent, and I was like, I'm going to sit with my friend and coach, and there was a veteran, and I was just like I could tell, and I was like, can I give him my seat
awesome.
First? Just figure, and it was
sweet move.
Just whatever. And the guy wouldn't – he was just like, no, sorry. And I was like, okay, well, I'm going to. And he was like, no, I've got a list of upgrades. I'm like – in my head, I'm like, I don't know anybody – it's a one-hour flight. Like, I don't know anybody that would be like, thanks for almost dying. I need my beverage. And so – so – and I'm standing there talking to him, and the pilot is standing behind him, and he looks at me. He goes, just wait till you get on the plane. Like, because this guy was
awesome.
Being a dick.
Yeah.
So I get on the plane, and I'm sitting there. I've got my dog, which makes me already look like a handful. Like, oh, this uppity girl. Whatever. She's stunning. So I'm sitting there.
She is. If you haven't seen Blanche,
she's in the back.
Just Google Eliza.
Just go.
No, that's a good thing. Your dog's gorgeous.
It's a good thing. So we were sitting on the plane, and my friend texts me. He goes, we have the whole row. Come back. So I go to the back.
Yeah.
And on the way back, I tap the veteran, and I go, hey, why don't you take my seat? And he was like, amazing. Okay. He said, what's upset to there? The gate agent, American Airlines, comes on the plane to check on this. Finds the guy, tells him he has to go back to a seat. The veteran now is like, hands up, like he's a fucking prisoner of war. He's like, I don't know, she just told me. And then they come back, they're like, you can't do that. And I was like, what do you care where I – it's my seat.
Yeah.
And I went on a Twitter rant. I was like, I'm not trying to look like a hero. I was just trying to do something nice, and you embarrass both of us. And, yeah. And they wrote me an apology.
And who's going to be the dick then that then stands up and goes, actually, it's my seat? Like,
right.
Like who's going to be that guy?
Right.
Yeah, he accepted. Like,
takes the seat.
I have the apology in my DM. They didn't make it public. And they were like, we're going to look into that. But who's the fucking piece of shit gate agent that's like, I'm really going to live by the letter of the law? I'm sorry, veteran.
Yeah, you didn't go in there and say, hey, it's always been my dream to fly a plane and then take – take an Instagram photo of my dog at the controls. Like, yeah. That's not what you said.
Listen, I got a box cutter. I just want to talk to you.
Yeah, you walk in and like, can I give a veteran a first class seat? Like, yeah. That's all you did. I don't understand that at all.
Well, that was a sweet move. And you are a very kind person. I've known you a long time, and you're very, very sweet. And yeah. I feel like the amount of, which brings me to my next topic, the amount of somewhat abusive mail, text, Facebook messages, Instagram. You went on a nice little last few days of posting some of the messages that, hey, single or in a relationship dudes who are a fan of you want to send you and let you know, I guess, that they're fans of you by being like, well, an example. One of them was a picture of a guy, I think, who had seen your special. And he said, and the picture was of him laying down. And he had a hard dick.
Rock hard dick.
Through some shorts.
Can we pull it up on my Instagram?
All right. Well, I don't know how necessary that is.
Oh,
I think
is that
me
not
saying
a thing?
Hard dick is probably enough.
Oh, boy.
You know what? Might as well pull it up. Josh, you want to pull up that dick? Which is the first time I've said that out loud.
No, it's not. I went with you to Mexico. You've said that sentence before.
Josh, pull up that dick.
It sounds like a game show phrase. Josh,
pull up that dick. Wait, let's try it. Let's get the whole audience ready.
TBS,
if we're on that show.
Funny.
Ready? Hey, Josh.
We'll be right back.
Oh my God. We'll be right back.
We'll be right back.
You have to cut to commercial because then the audience is like, where's the dick? They scream for it. Oh, we got to wait 15 seconds.
We got a cock hungry audience here, Adam. I don't know where. Well,
just Eliza's Facebook page if you can pull it up.
I guess it was on
right?
my Facebook. Yeah. It was like 2 a.m. and I was like not ready to go to bed. So I decided to wage war against some of my creepier mail.
But I mean, these messages, I mean, they're happening how consistently? And the more and more you're becoming in the public eye and your stuff is being recognized and.
Yes. But even somebody who isn't in the public eye.
For sure.
Like, I don't know. Maybe you're very famous. Are you? What do you do?
I'm like semi.
Oh, are you? Am I a piece of shit now? Okay, what do you do? This one. You're difficult. What's okay.
Hell yeah. Did you get messages from dudes that are very pervy?
No.
Okay.
No?
Well, that was
all
not
right,
very
you're
sisterly.
Over two.
You're not on Facebook. Okay,
I guess my
sure.
point was all women get
yes.
that shit. Like, even before.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay, so she was on my side.
Yeah.
The whole time.
So how? So when you get that, because you posted the picture of the guy, and he, I think the caption was like, just saw your new special or something, and
look,
then it was like,
check out my rock hard rocket. I don't know what he said.
Wow.
Rocket.
Yeah, that's sick.
And
rock hard
today,
rocket.
I posted
like a
bunch of them because and I even acknowledged in the Instagram. I said I acknowledge, but nobody reads what women write. I was like, I acknowledge that. I choose to live my life publicly, and I post sexy pictures. But the fact that you're sending this – I posted something publicly, and you are sending me privately, like an outline of your dick. P.S. This is beautiful. Your dick, if I'm not in love with you, not beautiful. Empirically. Like, that's nobody fair. Doesn't think that. Yeah. And well, then I just went on a rampage.
Yeah, well, because I just love that in his mind, like, we go to, like, best case scenarios.
Yeah.
Like, in his mind, he sends this picture to you. You go, oh, that's what I've been needing in my
that's
life.
What it is.
Dick. And then you hit him back.
I almost wrote back, this won't be the story of how mommy and daddy met. But then that would give him, because I imagine the scenario, he'll be like, I'm not trying to marry you, you fucking desperate bitch. Like, it would just be something horrible. It's lower.
There was another.
It's there.
Oh, there it is.
That dark figure.
Okay, now that I'm looking at it, that's a pretty impressive dick.
No way. It looks like he shit his pants if you crop out this for frame of reference.
Oh, there it is. I saw your nude pic for the first time and saw, and this was the effect it has on me.
First of all, duh. Second of all, gross.
There was another one that you posted where a guy said, I think in Instagram, it was three things. There was a three-part to this message.
Well, that one. Was the one where he just
said, I jerk off to you a lot. Then it said, LOL, and then it said, P.S., my wife loves you too.
Yeah.
So which means his statement about jerking off to you was like, yeah, he was trying to be sweet. Like, he wanted to say, I love your comedy, but instead he was like, I jerk off to your
that's
face.
That's what came out.
Yeah.
Right.
Can I show you my favorite one if
sure.
we're looking at these?
Please.
I just, that one, I just want that guy to die. I don't know if it's been tossed between these two, but I think this one's pretty funny. So I posted a picture of myself working out as I do, and I made a Beatles reference, sitting on a balance trainer, waiting for the Eggman, waiting for the bus to come. Sorry.
Yeah.
So then to that, naturally, so. Do you want to read that, or should I read that?
Okay, hold on. Your response or what?
My response.
This one I was... Oh, God, now I'm reading.
I'll read it.
Class.
I'll read it.
This is a nightmare again.
You want me to do it?
Yeah, go for it.
This one... Okay, and so he sends me a character made into a dick form. So it's an 8 with a bunch of equals and a dick. My friend Elliot pointed out he should have used a B instead of an 8. Good looking out, Elliot. And then a woman getting a massage. So yeah. I said, this one I was clearly asking for it by referencing the Beatles and showing my legs. This specimen of male ingenuity was able to create in what would have probably taken an average person days to figure out, a penis from keyboard characters. He then let me know the next thing on his mind was someone, anyone, getting a massage. The best way to let a girl know you like her is to Google a stock image of a woman getting her neck rubbed. Like, what am I supposed to take from that? This is my life.
I mean, are dick pics ever appropriate?
Yeah, if I ask for it.
Okay.
And even then, it's like... Oh.
See, I...
So that's kind of like the finger in the butt situation where you're like, yes, do it! And then it happens, you're like, I didn't want that to happen.
Yeah, maybe.
Brad, have you sent a dick pic?
Yeah, I've sent a dick pic before.
Because
there's like a curiosity, because people are like, well, you are a little guy. What are you packing?
That's literally what everyone in here is thinking.
Yeah.
Like, since the second you started talking about it.
Yeah. Mostly the males, just because they want to know that they have a bigger dick than a dwarf.
Now, I know that dwarves have
yeah.
regular sized head and hands, right?
Yes. Yes.
So.
Is my girlfriend in the room?
Yeah. Whoa.
She sounds happy.
Yeah. Oh yeah,
that's right. I'm just gonna stand here with my legs open for the rest of the podcast.
Jesus,
let
this shit happen. Okay.
I
can't see you sending it. You're so nice.
Thank you.
In a good way, like not like you're not creepy. You're not like suave and gross. I can't.
You're not.
But
suave,
that doesn't mean I won't
not...
choke somebody if they ask for it.
For sure, I've seen you on set. I've seen.
Joking, it. Jesus Christ.
Hashtag sorry not.
I have, I almost sent one time, and then I was like, "What do you do? Like, what?" I was spending too long doing it, and then I was like, I started laughing, and I was like, "Well, you can't do that." But then I'm a people pleaser, so I was like, "Well, she wants a dick pic," so I sent her a picture of a guy in a Hummer parking in a handicap spot, and I thought that was still like gonna get them. At least she's happy now, you know.
Yeah.
Just get a little dick, but and also. All right, so...
That's the name of the episode. She asked for a dick pic. I sent her of a guy in a Hummer parking in a handicap yeah. spot.
Have people hit you up from your past? We were talking about that earlier from the show being out. And
it's funny you say that.
Yeah.
Living with me currently in my basement because he just moved to L.A. Ooh. Is a childhood friend of mine.
Ooh.
While he's getting a writing gig, and sitting next to him is another childhood friend of mine who we're going out to dinner.
Amazing.
To have a fun private school night where we make fun of everyone and sit in a corner by ourselves. from their past, like in like a sexual way, or just like
just reaching out from the
Like parts of my family, and I'm like, I don't know you.
People oh, really? Ask for money?
Yeah. No, just no? really wanted to talk and touch base.
Who haven't touched base previously.
Yeah. I've never touched base. No bases.
Yeah. Here's one I've gotten within the last week. My parents actually set me up on a quote-unquote play date with some guy's son who wants to be a comedian.
Oh, and you got to give advice.
Yeah. And my advice is like, just don't do it.
Yeah.
It's not going to go well for you.
People ask that. They ask for advice. And what I feel they're really asking is like, hey, can you just give me the answer?
Right.
And I'm like, if you need advice, you should just be doing it. You shouldn't be asking. You should just be doing it. And there's no right or wrong way.
Yeah.
Right.
Unless there's a wrong way, but there's definitely no right way.
Yeah. It's like, yeah, how do you do stand-up comedy? You just do stand-up comedy. You find an open mic. There's not a line I could give you that's like, oh, that's going to be the funniest joke ever.
Yeah, go to comedy.com. Download the app.
In addition to the show, which was a blast, by the way.
Separation right? anxiety.
Come on.
Win.
That was the most fun ever. She championed for me to audition for that. And that was...
Adam's audition, I feel bad because my friends auditioned for it, but he blew everyone out of the water. It wasn't a question.
Well, I wore this tank top.
We didn't hold it against you.
Yeah, it was so fun. And now you're getting ready to shoot your third special.
Shoot my third special.
That is incredible to me. Guys, give it up. A third Netflix special. What the fuck?
It's okay.
Because you're turning over material at like an incredible rate.
Yeah, well... I don't have a family, so I don't know. I go on the road a lot. I make the specials.
Do you – you are on the road a lot. Do you enjoy it?
I actually do, and I've been on the road a lot. You know what this is like to get ready for that special. Yeah. It's batting practice, whatever. But I genuinely enjoy interacting with fans.
I was going to say, in the last year, I'd say, like, it seems like you have accumulated a fan – like, you are now really – developing like a strong fan base to where like they're showing up in all of your shirts and like taking pictures and quoting you and like a lot to where
I will say this because I'm not that famous but it's incredibly and I'm not a very grateful person. I've got a pretty huge ego and I'm kind of jerky sometimes but when it comes to the fans, I'm so humbled and in awe of how much my comedy means to them, but what they show me back. This isn't like they're coming to a show and just being like, oh, nice dick jokes later. Like the response, especially from women, and men have been my fans longer than women because women only started consuming stand-up on their own within the last like 5 years.
Yeah.
So just that positive response and the fact that they come out and they drive – and everyone has fans that drive far and that care. Yeah. But to consistently be reminded that it means something to someone and it's not just serving yourself, it's really gratifying.
Yeah. In the audience right now is a couple – that I actually married, and today is their 5-year anniversary. So, yeah. 5 years ago today, I married them in the penalty box of a Los Angeles Kings game. That is a
Take
true
that,
story.
Take that, Cher.
Yeah.
Eliza, so your specials that you're doing at the Vic Theater in Chicago.
The Vic Theater in Chicago.
April 23rd?
April 23rd. Okay. I have to start losing weight now.
Oh, stop that.
now.
And all your tour dates are on your website.
Go to Eliza.com. You can check out my Twitter. Don't send me a dick pic because I'll know you're not being authentic now.
So everyone send her a dick pic. That's what we're trying to say.
Send me a dick pic.
And our show, Tuesdays, 10 p.m.
Tuesdays, 10 p.m. Across the board, 10 p.m. You don't have to do the math. It's not like different.
Yeah.
I like it.
Am I stupid?
No. Okay. That was great. Guys, Eliza Schlesinger, thank you so much for coming by. Check her out live. She's one of the best.
Yeah. And they're playing Miley Cyrus. All right. Wow. One more round of applause for Eliza.
Guys, Eliza Schlesinger. Come on, huh? Bringing it hard always.
Now, we should just move right on to our next guest. Our next guest, you've seen him in a ton of films, Half-Baked, Dumb and Dumber. He did one of the most inventive stand-up specials I've ever seen, where he did it with no audience in the middle of a desert. That is true, and it was
force
awesome.
Of nature. You can find it online, and we just did his podcast, The Harlan Highway, which is on iTunes. You can check it out. It's amazing, guys. You ready for your next guest on the About Last Night Live podcast? Keep it going for the one and only Harlan Williams.
Yeah. Judgment comes, but then when judgment comes, but do what you're gonna do, but it ain't nowhere to hide. When judgment comes, but you, 'cause it's gonna come for you. Can you cut the music, please?
Hey, gang. How are you? How about a hand for Eliza? Wasn't she nice? Well, okay. Thanks for not supporting me. Okay, well. Whoa, look at this, gang. Right out of the gate, I do. I'm a prop comic. Anybody here into starfish at all? Do you like starfish? I always wonder if I was a starfish, you know, what would it be like if you're laying in the ocean in about 4 feet of water and it's night, right? It's a nice, clear, beautiful night. And you're underwater and you look up into the starlit sky. You see the twinkling stars and you're laying there as a starfish and you just go, how the fuck did they get up there? Just like, Larry? That guy laughing over there sounds like, you know, when a fridge starts going out and one of the hoses are... I'm a little saddened because I think as we all grew up, we all loved cartoons, huh? Did you love cartoons, guy? Who is your favorite cartoon character? You have no idea, so I was probably the wrong person to go to. We all loved, you know, we had Mickey Mouse and Wile E. Coyote and Scooby-Doo, and they were great characters. And then today, you turn on the TV, and you got, like, the Mucinex Snot Goblin. Right, kids are growing up on a character really composed of mucus. Talking mucus who wanders around in movie theaters and has teeth. It's really just a snot goblin, gang. You've got the cartoon characters. They're this new enjoyable treat for kids. The foot fungus guy with the football helmet on his head. He's like a rotten toenail, but yet he's just a lovable little cartoon guy. There's this new one. I don't know if you've seen it. It's literally a claymation of an intestine. Have you seen it? And it's running around at a football game, and they're talking about it, how it, you know, if you have aggressive diarrhea, it's like the aggressive diarrhea, lovable little jinxins. There's one now where there's a spleen. People are walking around holding hands. If you go to the bathroom too much, do you have to tinkle in the middle of the night? And some guy's holding hands with his spleen with adorable little Bambi eyes. Okay, let's shift gears. I don't want to get rude. This is more a biological commentary. I don't want women to be offended, but this is more biological, and it has to do with, you know, the human physique. It has to do with the process of you know, maturing, men and women coming into manhood and womanhood. But wouldn't life have been a whole lot easier for adolescent boys? And again, women, don't get offended. This is just, I'm thinking out loud here. Wouldn't it have been better for adolescent boys going through puberty and they had to go through that awkward stage where they had to get to first, second, and third base with a woman? Wouldn't it have all been so much easier if a woman's pussy lips were on her mouth? Like, imagine first base. I mean, if you got to kiss a girl, you're instantly eating her out. If you get a blowjob, if you're that lucky, it's not third base. You fucked her. You went all the way home. And just imagine, if you're a little bit offended and you're saying that's an abomination, just think of the wonderful, incredible bird calls you could make. just almost you wouldn't be able to differentiate between a wild red-crested warbler and the maple forests of Vermont or some woman's labias flapping up and down. And again, ladies, I don't want you to be offended by any of this. Well, there goes one. Are you going to the bathroom, ma'am?
I can't take this anymore.
Are you going for a tinkle? Because if you start taking a tinkle and we hear a red-crested woodpecker... Let's switch gears. That was rough, eh, buddy? I didn't realize you had such a sensitive audience. Any Walking Dead fans here? Yeah? Do you like The Walking Dead? Do I have time for one more bit, Adam? I'll do The Walking Dead bit, and then we'll, I'll give it up. This is just a quick half-hour thing I do. The Walking Dead, we're fascinated by it because it's such a bleak world. It's such a tortured, dirty, lonely world. And you got to think, as human beings, there's always a silver lining. As humans, we always seem to find the little bright spot in everything. And you got to figure where all these zombies are walking around with their dry skin and their halitosis and their gingivitis leaking all over the place. Just zombie, dead meat walking around. You got to figure there's got to be one person out of the whole group that lived through it all that's happy. There's got to be one guy. There's got to be one guy like a necrophiliac. Like some guy named Larry just up in a bedroom window just wringing his hands, just licking his lips. Oh, fuck, look at that. Look what's walking down the street. It's like fucking Golden Corral buffet walking down my street. Can't wait to get my... Look at the lips on that chick's face. But it's a weird world because, it happened relatively quickly. If you follow the show, like, everyone got this weird virus and just dropped. Like, people almost dropped on the spot, guy. People just went down. They went down. And, pretty quickly, within, like, 24 hours, everyone dropped. And it makes me wonder when I watched the show, like, the day the zombie virus hit, I'm just asking, was it Brown Pants Day in America? Was it Gap Shirt Day in America? I mean, where's the guy, where's the zombie wandering around in the C-3PO pajamas, right? Where's the dude with the boxer shorts with a Whopper on the front that says Home of the Whopper, right? There he goes again. Where's the chick, the zombie chick in the Victoria's Secret, thong and pink neon top? See what happens when Adam Ray walks through my material? What do you think, Brad? What do you want to do? You want me to keep going or you want to kick it over?
Whatever you want.
Okay. Did you say I'm done, ma'am? No, I think I'm going to do a bit more. Yeah, that lady pissed me off. I'm going to go deep. There you go, you cute little thing, you. What's your name, love?
Nicole.
Nicole, you're very beautiful.
Thanks.
Did you model?
No.
Actress?
Yes.
What have you been in?
You really want
to
know?
Not really. I got to do a show. Let's talk about the election real quick, and then we'll bail out of this. Because this is, it's how I was talking about cartoon characters earlier, Guy, and I feel like the election is just a bunch of cartoon characters, right? It's just like the selection of nutty people. It's like Hanna-Barbera's running the general election. I mean, you got Bernie Sanders walking around with, he's got like that Dairy Queen blizzard hair. And he's just, I don't know, he's just that hair. I don't know how you get hair like that. He's just almost like, my name is Bernie Sanders. I installed 12 ceiling fans in my house. I turned them on full blast, and I do not know how to turn them off. I mean, my God. I mean, can you imagine? Doesn't Bernie remind you of the old, like, senior citizen that wanders around your neighborhood in his underpants just mumbling? Like, every neighbor does that one weird, and his tidy whities just wandering around in his brown loafers, and just imagine mumbling. That guy is our president. ISIS is coming over the hill, and he's like, welcome to the United States of America. My name is Bernie Sanders. The world is made of cauliflower. My wife is a walrus. Sea urchin tits. Cucumber clits. And most importantly of all, welcome to Applebee's. And then we've got, God, I mean, I don't know if anyone here is voting for Cankles Clinton. Anybody going for, is anybody doing the Cankles? I mean, I hope you know she's got Cankles, gang. She's got giant, that's why she wears the Olive Garden hostess pantsuit every day. She's got these giant, I don't know, do you know what Cankles are, guy? They're like ankles that don't taper. It'd be like a canoe that was just a rectangle. Like there's no, the ankles don't, she's just got these giant, like shouldn't she really, instead of running for election, shouldn't she be stomping around on a riverbed in Colorado, crushing dinosaur footprints into the clay? Shouldn't she be in Napa Valley crushing grapes, making Hillary Clinton Cankle Pinot Noir, delicious blend of crushed grapes and toenail fungus? I mean, you know, I'd love to cut them off is what I'd like to do, and I'd be helping her. Just cut them up, put them in my front hallway, and put umbrellas in them, you know? And then, of course, we got to talk about Donald Trump. I mean, you know, it's kind of like, why is he doing so well? Why do people love him so much? I'm not saying everyone here loves him. Okay, if you're going to whisper, I don't like secrets. Okay, well, someone's telling secrets during my Donald Trump routine. But I think I figured out why we love him, and it's pretty obvious. And I think, you know, what person in this room wouldn't love a man with candy floss for hair? If he were to dye his hair pink or blueberry blue, I think he'd just fucking do even better. I think he'd be president already. And you gotta wonder, do the drapes match the carpet? Like, does Donald have a little convertible candy floss flap over his billionaire beanbag down there? All right, I think I've exhausted this crowd. Harlan
Williams, everyone.
I wore them out. Thank you very much.
Asking the questions that need to be asked, like what does Donald Trump's pubic hair look like?
Yeah, I feel like I wore them out a little, but
no way, it was great.
Absolutely sorry, not. I don't know. Me personally, it's weird because I feel like I have to vote for Donald Trump. I don't want to. But I feel like I have to because he just looks like a giant Oompa Loompa. So when I walk into the voting booth.
You recognize that face.
Yeah, when I walk into the voting booth, everyone's going to look at me like, well, he's going to vote for his king.
Yeah, that makes sense.
That makes a lot of sense.
You know, so that, yeah. I mean, I feel like I have to. I don't think I'm going to, but.
I think you will.
It's so funny when you were saying those things about Bernie and cucumber clits and sea urchin tits. Part of me, like was watching. I was like, I wonder how much more appealing he would be if he actually did just include that in the speech.
Yeah. I think he has. That was a direct quote.
Oh, that was a quote.
Yeah, that was from one.
Oh, wow, that was ripped from the headline. I didn't even know that.
That's a real speech. Yeah, I don't make stuff up.
Okay.
Really?
How's that mic stand?
It's a little awkward.
Yeah, you were having problems with the mic earlier.
It's okay.
Haro was complimenting your beard earlier tonight.
Oh, thanks,
I've known
man.
You for a while, and you're clean shaven or some stubble, but I haven't. The hair and the beard is you're killing it right now. How good does this motherfucker look right now?
Yeah. I mean, you look very. I mean, like you look very Canadian.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
I look like if Wolverine saw a ghost.
Is that a pickup line?
Yeah.
Well.
Yeah.
Well, here's the thing. Adam played Wolverine at Universal Studios.
Right.
So this is like Wolverine the later years.
Yeah.
So we have kind of like a before and after scene.
I'll take it.
Yeah. It's before. Now you know what you're going to look like.
Yeah.
I'll take it.
You will take it.
Oh shit!
Well, so then, then we're technically, and then the gene that causes dwarfism is a mutation. So we're all X-Men, really.
True. Have you done like the Ancestry.com thing and like tracked it down?
I'm scared that if I go to Ancestry.com, it's just gonna have the Munchkin King, like right there. And like I'm gonna type my picture and just gonna be like, oh, we found a picture of your great great grandfather, like that.
But would you
that
be upset if
me.
You saw that?
You know what? It would make a lot more sense.
Yeah, but how pissed would you be if you found out you were the kid of one of the Harlem Globetrotters? Like the whole team, not just one of them.
This is what happens when a woman gets a train run on her from the Harlem Globetrotters. This is what this is. Wow, my mother may listen to this. Okay, that's not.
I'm glad you didn't do it, though, because it's scary. I went on the Ancestry.com.
Did you really?
You go deep, you find out. Yeah. And it's fascinating, you know. It's like you find out things you didn't know, and I guess that's the whole purpose. But if you don't mind me sharing, like,
please, not at all.
Right out of the gate, blew my mind. Turns out my grandmother is my dad.
Wow, there's a guy from Alabama going, I don't even know how that shit works.
No. And I did the DNA thing. You can send your DNA and they can track you.
Right.
On my mother's side, golden retriever, and on my dad's side, mint chocolate chip. Unbelievable. But you know, it's not really a good thing to send in your DNA. Turns out I found out I'm the Zodiac killer, and no, I also assassinated JFK. I had no idea.
Wow. So we finally solved the mystery.
Yeah, so just, you know, be careful what you ask for.
Be careful when you're online. That's the message.
Like, do you have crazy ancestors in your past?
Yeah. Fucking A Bubba.
Who's the silliest of the Williams family? Are you the funniest?
Probably Uncle Barbecue. We have a guy we call Uncle Barbecue because this guy's just slap ass silly. He loves ribs, barbecue ribs. This nutbag, and he slaps barbecue sauce on everything. Like, you know, if you leave him in the house, he'll come back the couch. He'll have barbecue sauce on it. One time, my mother woke up, half her face was covered in barbecue sauce. Our fucking dog, barbecue sauce. My dad had a 72 Corvette that he actually bought from Mark Hamill from the movie A Corvette Summer. He came out when it covered with hickory smoke barbecue sauce.
Drink five for the first Corvette Summer reference on the About Last Night podcast.
So, Barbecue Willie's probably – he's the craziest. Funny you'd ask that.
Barbecue Willie sounds like a rejected Disney character. Like,
pretty much, yeah.
Was that? Oh, okay. You look at me like I should talk more.
No,
speaking of Disney, you have a new animated show.
It's a ways off, man. It's like a year and a half away. But
mark your calendars, people.
It's called Puppy Dog Tales, but it's a year and a half. Yeah, year and a half.
What did you have a favorite cartoon growing up?
I love Scooby-Doo, man.
Yeah?
Yeah, I mean, remember, this was the Mucinex Snot Goblin. Now it's this guy.
He's a lovable character. He doesn't get enough shout-outs.
But I just loved Scooby because, you know, I liked Shaggy. He just, like, you know, everything was like, Well, everything was like there's a Chinese restaurant, Scoob. Like he always.
Shaggy was impressed by everything. Yeah, it's like almost he, like he'd. Be,
and he was always fucking clueless. Like he'd look at his everything was a mystery. Like he'd pull out his driver's license and go, like if I'm on my driver's license, then who am I?
I would love to see Shaggy in like living like right now. Like I feel like even the small like he'd be at line at Subway and be like if I get a 6-inch tuna and get the chips, it's still under $10. Like,
yeah, just... can you imagine Shaggy pulling up to a drive-thru? He'd never fucking leave. Like I'll have the quarter with cheese and the chicken and the fucking well, okay.
The Mike got very confused.
Mike doesn't like my comedy. No.
Yeah, Shaggy, Scooby-Doo was a good one. Also, it's like, you know, that was, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but the first time like a group of gangbusters, you know, welcomed in a canine to the crew.
Yeah, yeah. Chinless. He was weird. He was like a chinless
yeah.
like and he didn't Great Dane.
And he didn't speak actual English, but like they all...
Yeah, he was just like, uh-oh. I just took a shit on the floor.
That was a fun season. That was a fun season.
Yeah, and in what world does a chinless fucking Great Dane hunt for the deceased?
That's how high Shaggy was.
Yeah, really. Yeah. I think it was just that whole thing was through the prism of his fucking brain.
I mean,
they should have ended the whole season on like Shaggy just waking up and like six bongs around him.
Yeah.
And him just going like, "What just happened?"
Yeah.
He dreamt the entire show.
Yeah. He's on an episode of what's that fucking
To Catch
show
a Predator?
On To Catch a Predator, but what's the one where they take rehabbed people? What is intervention? Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, because Shaggy was like that. That show was truly revolutionary because Shaggy was a stoner, so that kind of gave some kids a view into their future. And then Velma was a lesbian. So
was she
kinda
confirmed?
I mean that.
Some guy's like, oh yeah, dude, that fucking beanie. No straight girls wearing that shit. It wasn't even cold out.
But if she was a lesbian, how come like they never had that scene where she was in the mystery van with like Daphne?
Yeah,
like because Daphne was hot, right?
She was hot.
Daphne was like
only in my mind did that scene happen a lot.
Yeah, yeah. Daphne and Velma, but Velma looked like if Where's Waldo took a shit.
You know what? I don't know if you guys have had this happen to you, but when you're on a porn website, so that's a lot of you, right? Right? Okay. One
we're still laughing at Where's Waldo took a shit.
I don't know why we're moving on from that.
Give us a minute.
Have you guys ever been on a porn website, and then on the side they have ads for other porn websites, and then sometimes there'll be like a cartoon thing? And it'll have, like, the family guy fucking the family. One guy's like, yeah. Yeah, like, that shit's annoying. Thank you. I'm not the only sick fuck in the room. But, like, what? That kind of ruins my boner. When I'm watching a scene that I like, and then I look over, and I see Smurfette getting gangbanged.
Again.
Yeah. Like, that's not doing well for me. Like,
no,
who are
not
these
helping.
People that are
that's
like,
not on the list
there?
Of things to help Brad get hard. That's
yeah.
not...
It's not. Like I don't want to see Lois from Family Guy taking it from Brian the dog. That's not going to do a lot for my boner.
Jesus.
I saw like there was like a gay one where it was Mr. Smithers doing that Christian guy from the Hey Diddly Doo guy.
The Hey Diddly Doo.
He was like, "Hey Diddly Doo, neighbor." And Smithers like, "Release the hound." And then what was really bad, they didn't show her, but you could hear Maggie's, like, sucking noise in the background.
Oh, God.
Yeah, they didn't. She wasn't
it's
there.
Cartoons, it people.
Yeah, she wasn't
it's
there.
It's not a real baby, okay? You know that. I'm always amazed that they have ads for other porn sites on a porn site.
Yeah.
Like, it only takes, I don't know about your guys' time. I don't know how much you're spending on these sites. Like, I'm there for a good minute, 22 seconds max.
Good for you.
So, like, how many guys are watching their scene going, all right, this is good, but that's coming up later. Like, once you're done, you're done. Like, I don't get
who's sticking around to watch the rest of the show.
Yeah.
That was, yeah.
Yeah. Who, like, yeah, I don't know why that's happening. Like, why do they do that? Are you, like, bookmarking that for later? Like, yeah, I'm watching interracial now, but then next week I'm going to watch Mighty Mouse give it to Gargamel.
Well, why? Well, why don't you do it like this? Like in the old days, they used to show a cartoon before the real movie.
Right.
Yeah, so why don't you watch like Marge Simpson banging like?
By the way, not Marge, Marge Simpson.
March, yeah.
Well, you know,
that's because it's March.
Yeah. He's in honor of the NC2A tournament. That's what he's doing.
You can watch Marge Simpson banging Fred Flintstone, and then get to bust Grandma in the nut or whatever it is you like. I don't know.
Senior porn, wow.
No, I don't know.
We did a show on St. Patrick's Day together.
Oh, shiver me timbers, everybody.
Yeah, the most dangerous day to be a midget.
Yeah. Oh, really?
I fucking hate St. Patrick's Day.
Why is that?
Well, because I can't go outside.
Why?
All it's, right.
Yeah,
right,
it's St.
Right.
Patrick's Day. People are drunk. I walk outside. They're like, that's who we got to catch. That's not fun.
Is there some old wives' tale where if you catch a leprechaun,
you get his gold? That's the thing. Everyone's just assuming I have gold. It's not that. It sucks. It's like being at a mall during Christmas time. That's not good for me either.
Yeah, but the commercial auditions are.
Oh, I mean, sure. The commercial. Okay.
Have you done a commercial audition for a leprechaun?
Okay, here is the most offensive thing that has ever happened to me. Was I was doing a commercial. I was going out on a commercial audition, and they gave you something called a breakdown. For those of you who are not actors, breakdowns are instructions what the actor's supposed to do to prepare for the role. On my breakdown for this commercial audition, it said, "Bring your own leprechaun outfit from home."
Sure, yeah.
Yeah.
Which one did you take?
Which one did you pick? Yes, yeah.
I mean, well, that's the thing. I got pissed. I mean, I do own a leprechaun outfit, but it's fucked up. I do, like, you know, because you got to work in this town. But.
Yeah. Hey.
You know what sucks? I just thought of this because you were talking about being a midget, and as I was talking about the zombie thing, and it must be weird. Like, if the zombies came after you, you'd be like a TV time snap.
But you don't see you don't see any of the zombie midgets.
Yeah, there's no zombie midgets.
I want to, and those are the most dangerous midgets because you're like looking out at a certain angle, and all of a sudden something's chomping down your kneecap.
Wow.
You're like, what the zombie midget? Like, that's not good.
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like that's a band.
What if you're like an Armenian zombie midget? I would just think there was a gopher on my leg. Because they're hairy. They're real hairy.
So like it's a zombie, but it still smells like Dracar Noir.
Yeah, yeah, whatever that
nice.
Is.
Whatever that is.
That's a cologne, people. That's a
cologne.
Is it a cologne?
Yeah.
This Glendale joke.
Do you wear cologne, Har?
Not often. No.
Yeah.
No.
For special occasions.
Special occasions, I will. Yeah.
And what's your go-to fragrance? Do you mind? Is that a personal, private piece of information?
No. It's a dude I know gave me a bottle of something once.
Mm-hmm.
Like I smelt it. I was like, dude, that smells really good.
Yeah.
And like 3 weeks later, I saw the guy somewhere, and he handed me. He goes, "Here, I want you to have this. It's like really expensive from Paris."
Cool.
Yeah. Wow. So,
do you remember what it's called?
Eau de Paris or something? I don't know. I don't know what it is.
But it smells good. It
smells really good.
The thing is, like,
really
we don't do any research when you see the cologne stuff.
Oh, hold on a second.
I was going to say really there. Good oh, four fuck. Times. Four times, and then.
Do you know the rule of comedy, man?
Yeah, what?
No, it's just really good. Now I'm done.
He's done. Go ahead. What was so important?
No, I was going to say, like, when you read the French colognes and perfumes, it could say anything, but it's just French, so we buy it. Like, it could be like, eau de fromage. We're like, oh, eau de fromage, when in French that means, like, smells like cheese.
Yeah.
And you're like, fuck it, I'll buy it. Yeah, I should have let you do your joke, Harlan. That would have been better.
No, I didn't have a joke. I just wanted to say I really like it four times, and then you stepped on the third one, and then...
Would there ever be a name of a cologne that would completely like turn you off from it? Like if it was like, what if it smelled really good, but it was called like, you know,
oh,
I don't know,
God, yeah, like
Queefy Baby or something. Oh, like if that was,
oh, like,
but if it smelled great,
Taylor Swift for
oh, to Grandma's bruised anus.
But if it smelled great,
He asked.
Why does it have to be bruised?
We did the show on St. Patrick's Day, and you were very festive. You had a green, glowing hat.
Yeah.
And but I want to know what is your favorite holiday? Because you were very you got on board with the traditions of St. Patty's Day. But Is there a holiday that you love more
than
that?
I think I'm a Christmas guy. Really love Christmas. You like Christmas? I like Christmas. We used to... No, because we grew up kind of poor. Were you poor, ma'am?
I like how you just motioned to her like, you were obviously poor.
Well, look how she's dressed. Now, the... No, because when you're poor, I think you enjoy Christmas more because everything has meaning, and but it also affects the things you do on the holidays. Like I remember it was so charming for my parents, but we used to, you know, that thing where you do the popcorn around the trees. You put the needle and the thread through the popcorn, and you put it around the trees. And my parents weren't the swiftest; they wouldn't pop the shit first.
You said kernels?
Yeah, we just had kernels, and the number of needles I put through my fingers was like.
See, I'm very thankful that I'm now dating a tall woman, because when it comes to decorate the tree, if I had a dwarf girlfriend, it would just be like the bottom foot of the tree would be decorated, and then like the entire top half would still be going, who decorated this thing? Well, obviously.
Yeah, but in Hollywood, people would go, oh, that's so artistic. Right? They think it was a thing. Who talks like that? Thor, tough talk.
So all your Hollywood people have lisps?
I guess.
Who's doing a character, Brad? Don't be a dick about it.
I don't mean to be like mean, but have you noticed a lot of commercials now on TV?
They get
it's really like mean. They you feel for the kids, but they got the kids with the cleft lips. And I saw a commercial the other day. I'm not even kidding. There was a commercial with a kid that with no arms. And he jumped in a pool, like it looked like it looked like an otter or something. It was, but it was for real. Have you seen this fucking thing? There's a kid with no arms, and I thought, is this a murder commercial?
Like, what was it for? Like Gatorade or something? Do you have the will to live?
Yeah.
Are you a champion?
It was the equivalent of, you ever been up late at night and these commercials comes on and there's like a dog in a cage with like, you know, Kraft cheese all over its fur and one fucking bug eye and its legs in a bear trap and there's a fucking giraffe eating its asshole. Like
it's like playing that.
It was the equivalent of these like horrible like dog commercials but they're finding like the most crippled up kids, and it was like, it's very manipulative. Like,
what was it ever? Oh, it was just donate
money to like, and we all want to help arms. Crippled kids, but there was actually one where they had a burnt baby, like it just been in a fire or something.
And they're just videotaping this baby.
They were holding them up. I'm like, Jesus Christ! Like I had to look away. It had the opposite effect. I was so horrified. And I know this isn't comedy, but it's something I need to talk about. I'm really pissed. I'm really mad.
Yeah, because you hadn't seen a burnt baby before.
Well, who has?
That's why I asked.
Well, my uncle, Barbecue Willie.
Your uncle,
Willie,
Barbecue but... Willie, yeah. He's seen a lot of burnt babies.
All right.
It's got to be this guy, the tattoo guy. He's hot. Girls love tats.
They love tats.
Are you single, dude?
You took a minute to pause there. So who is the lucky lady that is maybe not? Because you definitely paused like, I mean, it's been a couple of weeks with Brittany, but it hasn't been a couple of years. Like, yeah, hell yeah.
Extremely.
Brad knows.
You're actually talking to my friend Derek.
Hell yeah.
And his profession is, can I say your profession? Yeah, he's a male porn star, everybody.
No shit.
Yeah.
You're dating everybody.
You're the only – I went to USC, right, and there was a fraternity where they filmed some porns at. And I one of my buddies one day, we finished class, and he's like, hey, do you want to go see – they're filming a porn at Fireside. Do you want to go see these dudes fuck? I was like, maybe if you phrase it differently, for sure. Maybe we'll see what's going on in that house. And I went there. I remember the actors were sitting around at one point. They had some downtime. And I went up to one of them, and I was real baked. And I was like, hey, man, I go, so what's it like doing this? Just trying to strike up conversation. And I said, don't you worry about diseases? And he just goes, I just try not to think about it.
Whoa.
And then I said, well, what if you, like, maybe you get something? And he goes, you just can't think about it, man. Carpe diem. And I was like, I don't know if that's where you're supposed to use that phrase. But so, I mean, what?
Yeah.
Test every 14 days.
So here's how Derek and I met. another friend of mine worked in the industry and said, like, hey, you want to come watch a live scene take place? And I said, sure, that sounds good. So I went to the scene, and now the performers, Derek being one of them, didn't know that I was there. And then they handed me a bottle of lube, the director, and said, all right, when they call for lube, you run in.
Whoa.
So he... He and the woman that were engaged in coitus, that's a nice way of saying it, didn't know I was there. So all of a sudden she goes, I need some lube. And then I run in with a bottle of lube, and her first response was to get up and go, I did not agree to that. So that, and Derek saw that and was like, this guy and I are going to be chums. Okay.
Har, are you friends with any porn stars?
God.
So many, right? So many.
Yeah, I don't think so. I mean, you're talking about the disease and that new one out, the Zika virus. Have you got that? Have you heard the Zika virus? Apparently, you get, it's like a sexually transmitted disease from mosquitoes. And I got to ask any guy in here, if you know how to fuck a mosquito, I want to go to DeVry and learn. Because
guys, Harlan Williams. Give it up one more time for Harlan Williams. The great Harlan Williams. Go see him live. His podcast, The Harlan Highway, is on iTunes. HarlanWilliams.com for all your tour dates.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you. Yes, and Twitter at Harlan Williams. And
download the most recent episode of The Harlan Highway because Adam and I are on it. So yeah. You can hear more of this.
Yeah, that was great because we did a bonus episode of your podcast, which if you sign up for Harlan's podcast, you get these bonus episodes where we did a, I guess, kind of a debate, if you will, right?
It's called Let's Have a Fight. It's a podcast where you have three verbal throwdowns, and it's really fun. These guys went at it big time. If you join my premium content at the Harlan Highway, you can hear him and Adam Carolla and Greg Fitzsimmons.
Yeah, it's the best. Basically, Harlan gives you a topic, and then somebody has to be for the argument, and somebody has to be against it. And we had one where it was, should killer whales be put on display for...
Yeah, are they good? Yeah, or is SeaWorld good for killer whales? And now, I don't actually think that, but I drew the four argument, so now I have to, like, address that, and yeah, and then it's just really interesting to have to argue things you don't actually believe.
Yeah, commit to it. Yeah. I was getting very fired up. Your whole argument was like, but it brings joy to children, because these whales dance, and I was like, oh, you just love these dancing mammal bitches. I think I said that to you at one point.
Yeah, and I said, how dare you talk about my mother like that?
Oh, cute.
Oh, that wow. That didn't go the way I thought
Jesus
it would go.
Jesus Christ.
I thought that was going to be funny.
She's
that
our biggest fan. We just lost a listener. Har, thanks for doing this.
Hey, thanks, guys.
You're the man. Guys, Harlan Williams, one more time, huh? Come on.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Did you guys have a good time tonight? Thank you so much for coming to the second Live About Last Night podcast. Of course, subscribe on iTunes and check out all past and present episodes.
Sure.
And hey, buddy, Derek, quick plug of one of your most recent films.
Yeah. Magic Mike Triple XL. All right. And then look for my porno movie, Magic Mike XXS.
See how there was a lot of laughter, but then the laughter got quiet real quick because people were like, I would watch that. All right, thank you guys so much for coming. We appreciate it. Good night.
So that's the show. Thanks for tuning in. We had laughs and stories. Now go listen to more episodes on iTunes or your phone. Subscribe and tell your family and everyone you know.
But what should I tell them? Well, you can just tell them that
Brad Williams and Adam Ray can help you get through the fucking day. Just follow us on Twitter at Funny Brad, and I'm at Adam Ray Comedy.
This has been the About Last Night podcast. We'll be right back. Hey, everybody, it's me, Tony Danza. Thanks for listening to the About Last Night podcast with Brad Williams and Adam Ray.
Boy, they're a lot of fun, huh? Why don't you subscribe on iTunes to this fucking podcast? Give them a 5-star rating so this midget and this Jew can feel good about themselves for a couple minutes. Also, get on your iPhone or Android and get the podcast app. You can also listen to it on Stitcher or aboutlastnightpodcast.com, where you can hear past episodes with great guests like Lisa Kudrow, Paul Feig, Kevin Nealon, Bob Saget, Dion Cole, Chris D'Elia, Adam Devine, Michael McDonald, Jaleel White, Bud Friedman, Steve-O, Harlan Williams, Tom Arnold, Ron Funches, Rick Glassman, Blake Anderson, Anders Holm, Jessamay Peluso, Joey McIntyre, and many, many more. I'm Tony Danza. Thanks for listening to the About Last Night podcast. Good night. That's it, right? You got it?
Sweet.
Boy, it smells good in that booth, by the way. What kind of candle is that? Hanukkah Willow? Nice.